All right. We don't have a special, correct? Okay. So we are going through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday nights. If you've been with us, you're aware of that. I really want to try to pull something out of each chapter. I will not cover every passage from every chapter, but as we go through Proverbs, I want to pull something out of each chapter that I believe will help us. And I'll be honest, there are some chapters that I'm like, I don't know, maybe we should move on to another one. This particular chapter, there's some great, great teaching on marriage. And yet on a Wednesday night, I'm privy to the fact that not everybody that's here is married, okay? Nevertheless, married people need biblical counsel. Do I have a witness from everybody? Certainly our country, let alone even those who call themselves Christians, we're in a crisis of marital breakdown. When the home is broke down, it's all broke down, okay? The stabilizing factor in any civilized society is the home. Rome fell apart from within, not from without. And if the Christian home can stay stable and flourish, we can have revival. Amen. We can have revival because it's not only good for the husband and wife, it's good for their kids. But it's not only good for the husband and wife and the kids, but it's good for the people who are looking to get married, to see the blessing of being married. So the passages of Scripture I'm going to read deal with marriage. And you're here and you say, Well, then this does not apply to me. Oh, no. Don't bail out on me. I'll guarantee you we're going to draw something out of this that applies to you. As a matter of fact, I looked for the very thing that applied to everybody in this room, whether you're married or not. I was looking for it because I thought, you know, everybody, when we open the Word of God, we got to get something out of it. There's always something to be gleaned from the Bible as we study it. So I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 23. The title of the sermon is Drink Waters Out of Thine Own Cistern. Drink waters out of thine own cistern. Let's go ahead and stand if you're able to stand in honor of God's word. And have to excuse me. For some reason, I think going in from the AC to the nice warm weather, back and forth, has affected me more than other people, I guess. Either way, I'm still going to go back outside when I have opportunity. All right, verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad in rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. We could pull a whole sermon out of that text right there. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. So that individual there will die with shame, a shameful legacy at best, and of course in hell at worst. That's the way that person dies. Now, if you're born again, you don't have to be the person who dies and goes to hell. Hallelujah for that. Because we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are saved and secure in Christ Jesus. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Nevertheless, we can be saved people and do shameful things. We can be saved people and cause a lot of problems. And so The objective of this message, one, is to help every marriage in the room. That's the primary text, the teaching. But to help every one of us maintain that relationship with Christ that is necessary for us to bring glory to God. And that, too, is taught in this passage. So let me pray with you. Father, we pray that you bless the message, minister to our hearts. Thank you so much for the wonderful words of life, for the power of the Holy Ghost to teach us and instruct us and to quicken us. May you bless our time together. May everybody in the room feel like this message is for them. I'm asking that you'd help me to speak. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, I want to deal with verse 14 initially. Verse 14. So the writer says, makes a statement. He says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. I mean, there's some things to be pulled out of this for a moment. It's as though he's saying, when he says, I was almost in all evil, I am privy to the fact that I've been delivered from all evil. I was there, and it's very possible. He's saying, I even desired it. But somehow, some way, in the grace and mercy of God, I was rescued from total destruction. And it's as though if we were to read verses 1 all the way down, this place of being in almost all evil, it wasn't something that was just circumstantial. It was the result of bad decisions. It was the result of his personal choices. And the fact is, most of us are responsible for, well, we're all responsible for our choices. But when life is very, very difficult, and I'm not saying it's the case of everybody, but often it's self-induced. Now, you don't have to like me or smile or anything, but the reality is this. I know in my own life, many of the difficulties that have come in my own life, they're self-induced. Maybe there's a few of you nodding your heads like, yeah, the rest of you, not me, man. All right, well, great, that's fine. You're Job. But the blessing is this, the very fact that you're here, the very fact that I'm here, we can testify along with this man in verse 14, I was almost in all evil, but I'm not. I'm not. And it's as though he's now going to give some counsel and some wisdom in regards to how to keep from getting to where he was at. Are you with me? Maybe he was a married man. I mean, I believe Solomon was the writer, but and Solomon certainly had some serious issues. But there's some teaching here as though this guy wants you to learn from his bad decisions. And so let's jump into this. Verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, he says. Now let me explain this. A cistern. What is a cistern? Well, it's not a female saint of God. You know, like we have brethren. Okay, you guys won't get that. All right. I'm sorry. When we have the cistern. No, it's a cistern is a pit, it's a well that has to be filled. And in Eastern culture, almost every home had their own cistern. Every home. They would dig a deep well and they would put rocks on the walls all the way to the floor and try to seal it as best they could. And then they would fill it with water one of two ways. There'd be a local well somewhere near the village, and they'd fill buckets, and they'd carry these buckets of water and fill the cistern. And these cisterns could be deep. I mean, these cisterns could be 12, 20 foot deep. Sometimes we find in the Bible they used an empty cistern as a prison, a place to hold somebody hostage, an empty cistern, that is. So they were deep, difficult to get out of. And they would fill these things. Or through rain, they'd collect rain during the rainy season. Now remember, in this part of the world, it could be very dry, very hot, very arid. And so you had to get the water when it was available. And the local well, you took advantage of that. And having your own cistern did a few things. Number one, it kept water close in proximity to you. But two, it kept the water cool by having it in this pit, in a cistern. It kept the water cool. And for the most part, it kept it clean as long as they lined the walls and the floor with stone and kind of put mortar in there and sealed it. It kept it clean. And so, you know, water, it is a life source. It's a life source everywhere, but let alone in this particular area of the world. And it satisfied a natural desire, thirst, to have water that available. It would help satisfy that natural desire of thirst. Now, I'm going to come back to verse 15. But the reality is this. The man who testified in verse 14 is telling us, listen, drink waters out of your own cistern. Don't drink waters out of somebody else's. Well, there's a couple obvious reasons. It is somebody else's. If God's given you provision to refresh yourself with your own cistern, then that's what you're supposed to do. And then we come to verse 16. Like I said, I'm going to come back to verse 15 at the end. He says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the street. So let me give you a couple thoughts here. So as we consider this idea of cisterns and fountains of water, the context in this passage is referring to fidelity in marriage. Fidelity in marriage. That's the context, okay? The idea of fountains has the idea of joyful emotions, or that which came from the cistern or was a result of the cistern. And so, in verse 16, I said, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in their streets. So you can share your water and should, but you don't share your wife, okay? In this passage, we are looking at the joyful emotions of a good marriage and how it should be obvious outside the home as well as inside the home. Did you catch that? A good marriage is a stable marriage, and it's not just stable, but there's happiness in it. I've known people, I know some people who've lived together for years, like 30, 40 years, and they act like they don't like each other. Well, that's not a good Christian testimony. Hello? But at least that's what is portrayed abroad and in the streets. But a good Christian marriage, it's not just stable, but it's obvious. The people in public know, yeah, they got a good marriage. They got a good marriage. I love that passage in Genesis. I believe it's chapter 26. It is. Verse 8. So Isaac and Rebekah are traversing through the land. This is a great passage. And Isaac has the same weakness that his daddy had. Fear. His wife is a pretty lady. He's in this land of Philistines. It's not his land, and he's just traversing. And he knows these people are run by a monarchy. And he is the law of the land. And he looks at his wife, Rebecca, and says, can you pretend you're my sister? Because if I say you're my wife, they might kill me for you. She said, sure. They did the same thing as Abraham and Sarah did. And so while they're sojourning in this land, this verse, Genesis 26, 8, the Bible says Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines, was observing, and it says he saw them sporting. I love that word. They were sporting together. What were they doing, playing golf? Honey, I think that'd be awesome if you took up the game of golf. What are you doing? We're sporting together. We're going to go over to Cool Lake and sport together. What are they doing? Throwing a football back and forth? Frisbee? I don't know. They were having fun together, okay? They were having fun together. So much fun that Abimelech said, "You're not brother and sister." Makes me wonder if they kissed each other. Can you imagine them looking out? That's his sister? No way! I mean, very realistically. Did you catch him smooching her? That wasn't on the cheek. That was kind of long and drawn out there. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a public smoocher. I'm just not. That's just not my thing. But Isaac and Rebecca, their fountains were abroad and in the streets, and people recognized they're a married couple, and they like it that they're a married couple. Hello? I'd like to say this for all who call themselves Christians. You know, when our relationship with Christ is right, it should be obvious in public as well. It should be dispersed abroad and flow in the streets. Are you hearing me? I mean, when my heart is right with Christ, matter of fact, I've been with people who've been at ball games who've said amen at a public high school ball game. Amen! It's just in their speech. Praise God! All he did is steal a basketball. It's exciting! Anyways, it just comes out. That Christian joy comes out when our hearts are in sync with the Lord, and we know that everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. And we just carry it with us. From the moment we got up and opened our Bible, drank our coffee, spent time in prayer, and moved on throughout the day, we've been whistling the praises of the Lord, and we couldn't help it. It just naturally came to work with us. It naturally went into the grocery store with us. It naturally went to the place of employment with us. And man, it's just there. When our heart's right with the Lord. See, I told you there's something practical for everybody here. Verse 17, let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Unusual verse. So let's read them together. Verse 16 and 17, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. I'm going to call these fountains these happy emotions. These happy emotions should come from your relationship to your spouse, not a stranger. You should be whistling because of your good relationship with your spouse, not something else. Are you hearing me? Oh yeah, I've seen people whistle and act happy, but it wasn't because of their relationship with their wife or their husband. Because they had something else going on. I read a commentator, he said this, I might get ahead of myself, but he said, when there's no contentment at home, the heart will seek to find it elsewhere. Did you hear that? As a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that, there are things that in this world that can make us happy, that we can enjoy, but you know, for the Christian, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It should be the joy of the Lord that is most prominent in our lives. It should be the joy of the Lord that is most becoming. And the reality is sometimes other things have to be pulled out from away from us to discover whether or not we're really finding joy in the Lord or we're finding joy in the worldly securities.
I like having fun as much as the next guy. I do. We're having a big game night Friday night. Why? Because I want us to have fellowship and fun. I want God's people to get together, do something this summer. But the reality is this. Our personal relationship with Christ ought to be that primary sustaining factor of all other things. Not a stranger. Let them be only thine own, not a stranger's with thee. Verse 18. Let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. If you want blessedness, by the way, the word blessed means happy. If you want blessedness or happiness, be excited about your wife. If you want blessedness, keep your eyes on Christ, child of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, how do I maintain that love? Well, the Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude, verse 21. That's my responsibility. It's my responsibility. Listen, I never have to worry about Jesus loving me. The issue is always the other way around. Are you hearing me? You never have to worry about Jesus loving you. Amen. His love is everlasting. The issue is always on your court. You're the one who decides. We're the hearts that drift, not his. And that's why we get a verse like this. That says, let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Okay, as husbands, wives, that's the marital advice. But in our Christian relationship, it applies as well. Next, verse 19. Let her be as a loving hand and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Okay, verse 19. Stay attracted to her. She ought to capture your eyes among all other women, even when she's old. Even when he's old. But old Lou Rossi say, yeah, that Coke bottle figure is going to be a 2-liter sooner or later. And them men, that body odor doesn't get any better. We ought to stay captivated with our spouse. In the crowd, we ought to be able to say, there she is, or there he is. I mean, that she ought to be the one that gets our eyes, gets our attention. And by the way, she ought to be concerned if she sees you looking around and gawking around. She ought to be concerned. You ought to be concerned. That's the fact. The matter is, we need to, as I said a moment ago, we need to keep our hearts in love with Christ. And then verse 20 and 21. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. So the guy who wrote verse 14 and said, I was almost in all evil, says, listen, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. There's a God who's watching. And he's watching you. He's watching you like he died for you. He's watching you like he loved you enough to give his life for you. He's watching. It's not going to set well with him when he sees you stepping outside the marriage boundaries, let alone when we turn our heart from the Lord. We mess up in our marriage. Listen to this. If we mess up in our marriage, it's because we messed up with our walk with God long before. You can mark that down. That's worth writing down. If I lose my marriage, I lost my relationship with Christ long before that happened. Because I can't be right with Christ and not be right with my wife. I can't make her decide, but I can make my heart right.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Verse 22 and 23. Remember, we're going back to verse 15, so I know you're thinking, well, look at there, we're almost done. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. That verse 22 says a lot to us. Initially, the pleasure of sin has a holding effect, and then an addicting effect, and then a dying effect, and it leaves you with a shameful effect. I think it was Todd Loeb. I think it was. Did this illustration. I really liked it. I'll certainly give credit to where credit is due. I remember him preaching this verse on a night we had a bunch of guys preach, and he took a spool of thread, and he had one of the young people get up there and held his hands out, and he wrapped it around one time. He says, "Now break it." Boom, he broke it. And he mentioned that when you sin, it's the first time it's just that thread. But if you get by with it, you think you can do it again. And so it goes again. And you think, well, I got by with it. I got by with it. I can keep breaking loose. But eventually, you know what? You wrap even a little spool of thread, that fine thread, you wrap that around your wrist enough, you won't break that thread. It'll cut your wrist. And that's what sin will do. Samson said, I'll come out and shake myself as at other times. He wist not the Lord had left him. You know, somebody says, oh, pornography once, I got over it. Pornography twice, I got over it. Pornography three times, well, it doesn't sound like you're getting over it, friend. Or they say, you know, yeah, I messed up once with this gal, but I still was able to save my marriage. And then twice, and then three times. I've seen this. It's like, what on earth? Excuse me. Dude, you got a problem. That's bound, held by the cords of their iniquity. And I'm here to tell you, that is the best way to self-destruct. It's interesting. It says his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. Do you realize sin has an effect just like gravity does? It's going to pull you down. It's going to pull you down. And so, I need us to go back to verse 15 now. Verse 15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. The question I want to answer is why some people don't drink waters out of their own cistern. Why some people don't drink waters out of their own cistern. Let's try to answer that question. Number one, because some cisterns are dry. There's no water. They haven't been filled because it takes work. And maybe only one person's been filling it, and they're wore out. Are you with me in all this? Listen, I've counseled some marriages where it's like, wow, she's putting all the effort into it. She's doing all the investing, and you're doing whatever you want, bud. And eventually, she's going to give up. She can't keep pouring into that cistern, and you're not putting anything in it. So she quits putting in it, and it's dry. Or vice versa. Are you hearing me? You see, this idea of a good marriage, we got to invest in it. And to invest, I mean, it's like we've got to take our mind off ourselves and say, I wonder what she wants or he wants. By the way, as a Christian, that's a good idea. I wonder what he wants today. not just what I want. Hello?
So some people don't drink water out of their own cistern because there's no water in the cistern. People quit investing, quit putting things into it, quit. They no longer remember anniversaries or birthdays or special occasions. They no longer go the extra mile. There's just nothing there. They don't dress up for each other. They don't try to impress each other. Matter of fact, it's like they've just two people living in the same house and they're going through the motions. They must. Oh, I'm going to get ahead of myself.
I'll go ahead and get ahead of myself here. Maybe they've been drinking from somewhere else and are not thirsty. The Bible says the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. Listen. Hey, have you ever, you know, during the open house season at the end of the school year, you know, you got 14 open houses to go to, and everybody's got some good food, and everybody wants you to eat a little here, eat a little there, and then, unfortunately, sometimes this happens. The last open house you show up at, they got the best food of all.
Hey, you want a plate? Can I get it to go? I mean, you don't have any room. You've been eating all day long. Anybody been there?
And unfortunately, sometimes people are finding their gratification someplace else, so they get home, they're not even seeking it. They don't have any desire. They've found satisfaction somewhere else. By the way, that's the same way in our Christian walk. You know, sometimes as long as we can find pleasure in the world, pleasure outside of Christ, pleasure outside of church, you know what? For the most part, Christians will do that. I said Christians will do that. They'll neglect. As long as they can find pleasure outside of Christ, outside of church, even Christians. I mean, they'll put in their token time. They'll put in their tithes time for the Lord and say, there we go, I did that. Now I can forget about the Lord because I really find pleasure in all this other stuff. And the Lord says, you have no walk with me at all. Zero. You don't witness for me. You don't share our relationship. You don't tell others about me.
Well, another reason some people don't drink water out of their own cistern, some cisterns have been contaminated. You know, in those big pits, every now and then, man, they'd have to clean them babies out. You know, rodents could get in there, certainly bugs. I realized back then they could probably tolerate a whole lot more than we could today, but if I looked down there and I saw a cockroach in there and I saw flies in there, I saw a mouse floating around in there, I'm not drinking that. Hello? And unfortunately, some people don't drink out of their own cistern because it's just bitter waters. It's just bitter waters. It's like, man, I try to carry on a conversation, try to enjoy company. It's like there's always an argument. There's always an argument. It's like, I can't talk about anything. So I might as well just go find me some other water. Because this water, this is contaminated. Well, and don't think it couldn't be you or I. What do you do when the water's contaminated? Well, you get the nasty out. And sometimes you need to just dump the whole thing and put some new water in there. Just get it all out. How do you get it out? You confess. Cast your care upon the Lord. You confess. I mean, I realize you can't control the other person, but you can control you. And at least you can be filled with the Spirit. You can speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can be the giver. You can be the lover. You can be the one that shows initiative to help and all. You can. Keep it clean. But, once again, sometimes. Oh, you know, another thing, too. Sometimes it's bitter water because there are unreconciled experiences that need to be reconciled. A wound from a week or a month or a year ago or longer that has not been reconciled. You've not owned it. And as much as
One individual might want to make it right. They know the other individual hasn't even dealt with this yet. They've not even dealt with the fact that they stole money out of the checking account, took money without us talking about it, and they did this and this and this. Or they had this particular relationship and they never even owned it. They just want me to forget about it. That's dirty water. Are you hearing me? That's dirty water. And by the way, you know, in our Christian life, we can be that way too. Sometimes we can just move on, not confess or forsake, not even ask the Lord to search our own hearts. We just trust, oh, it's good. And I will say this, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Amen. But you know, those mercies are only available for those who want mercy. You know, a man that's not dying, or at least doesn't think he's dying, doesn't seek help. A man that doesn't think he's drowning is not going to reach out his hand for help. No more than a guy who doesn't feel like he's a sinner going to ask for mercy. And the reality is we need it every day. Every day. Why? To keep the cistern clean. So we can have good water in the house. Good water in our relationship with Christ. Well, I'm here to tell you there was a whole lot more in these passages than I got when I first read it. But I am thankful the Word of God knows how to zero in on where we live right now. Lord, may you bless the message and minister to our hearts. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your truth. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask this question. Maybe there's somebody here this evening who'd say, Preacher, the Lord has spoke to my heart, and I need to make some decisions, and I would just ask for prayer. If you lift your hand up, I will pray for you. Anybody like that? Okay, I see hands, yes. God bless you. Father, I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen those who have raised their hands, and I pray that you'd find within this congregation humility. You told us by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. You'd find humility. You'd find a humbleness because you give grace to the humble. And may you pour out your Holy Spirit upon all who are here. Help us. Bless our invitation song. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.